I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, KSL News Time, now 7:30.
It is 76 degrees.
Slowing on Foothill due to construction. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
Utah Fireworks.
Provost Fire Marshal says if you must shoot fireworks, go to a designated spot where it's safer.
So that's the gist of the program. We're going to send them to the parks.
This comes after a brush fire started by fireworks this week. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards is live with more. Mary?
Amanda, Provo has increased the number of approved parks from 5 to 14 this year for fireworks in the window around July 4th and 24th. Provo Fire Marshal Lynn Schofield says they are giving flyers to the fireworks vendors with safety information on them.
If you feel like you have to do it, then here's some recommendations. And we give some fire safety recommendations about clearances around your fireworks, having extinguishing agents to be able to put out small fires or duds. I'm going to the parks.
Schofield says Monday night fireworks started a small brush fire on the Provo bench. That person that started that could have to pay around $4,500 in fines and fees. Live Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
Meantime, Cottonwood Heights is the latest city to impose bans on personal fireworks in large portions of that city, including the historic section. That ban will remain in place all the way through December 30th. But the city says their professional fireworks show for Butlerville Days in July will go on, with firefighters helping to make sure the display is safe. This follows Salt Lake City's announcement yesterday that all personal fireworks are banned from being lit within city limits this summer.
Fire tore through a home in West Jordan and damaged two others. Joseph LaForette lives in the neighborhood and saw the flames.
The flames were just too hard and coming up really bad, and the smoke, the rest is what you see, is, you know, he's lost everything.
No people were hurt in the fire, but one of the pets did not make it out.
The June heat wave.
Utah's extreme temperatures are leading to a record number of calls for help in recreational areas. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly has the details. Live now in the 24-hour news center. Heather?
Well, Tim, Zion National Park received about 24 calls of heat-related illnesses in the last 3 weeks. Chief Ranger Daniel Fagergren tells KSL.com 6 of the calls came in a 2-hour time span this last weekend alone. Fagergren says when temperatures go above 105 degrees, even mild exertion, like walking up a hill, will raise your body temperature rapidly. Park officials are asking visitors not to hike during the heat of the day, carry more water than you think you'll need, and learn the signs of heat stroke and heat exhaustion. Live, Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
Okay, so weather now with Grant Wayman. There are some thunderstorms in the forecast, but they're probably going to be more wind and lightning than rain.
It's been about a month now at this point with no measurable rainfall at Salt Lake International. The last time we had measurable rain, you got to go back to May 23rd. But it is not the longest stretch of dry days here in Salt Lake City. That was actually set way back in the early 1950s, where we had a stretch of days that lasted 2 months or close to it with no measurable rain.
Grant says there will be some places that get rain out of these storms, but it's not going to be enough for people to turn off their sprinklers.
KSL's top national stories this hour. Health officials say infections from the Delta variant of COVID-19 are spreading across the country and threatening younger adults who are less likely to be vaccinated.
The highly contagious Delta variant now accounting for 20% of new COVID cases in the U.S. and doubling every 2 weeks. The variant now confirmed in nearly every state and now accounting for nearly half of all infections from Iowa to Colorado. Officials warn younger people could be more vulnerable because only 38% of people between the ages of 18 and 29 are at least partially vaccinated.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert reporting.
Today, President Biden will announce executive actions he says will help stop the surge of violent crimes involving guns.
The White House calling it a comprehensive plan targeting illegal gun dealers and giving federal aid so local police can better enforce weapons law. The president's plan will also let cities use millions in COVID relief to prevent gun violence. The president's actions countering Republican claims that he and Democrats want to defund police departments. These orders will give officers millions more to enforce the law.
ABC's Andy Field reporting from Washington.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.